There you go.
There it is.
There's a winner. Look at that.
Good. We have a chance.
Show that.
Yankees 12, Red Sox 11.
You know what I like about Vince Scully?
What's that?
He never has anything bad about anyone.
I don't think so either. He doesn't really say anything negative. He's always been tremendously positive.
And everybody who says that they've ever met him said he's the nicest, humble guy ever. I just hope that I'll get the chance to meet him one day.
I wish I could meet him. My dad, actually, when he was coaching baseball for Losinger High School, he cut his son from the baseball team. I was like, Dad, what the hell's wrong with you? He's like, oh, yeah, I was sad. And then Vin came to the practice, and it was really understand. He was so nice about it. He's like, no, I understand, you know. Son didn't quite cut it. All right, we'll go ahead and get started. Welcome, fans, come one, come all, to the Episode 3 of the Dodger Talk podcast. With me today are Josh Martinez. Josh, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you, man?
Not too bad. What have you been up to since we last spoke?
Just watching the Dodgers tear it up again.
What'd you think of Friday's game?
Oh, man. Yes. Mine was blown. I felt like a little kid on Christmas.
That's exactly how I felt. Also with us today is Ramses Lemus. Ramses, what'd you think of Friday?
Wow, man. Just speechless, pretty much, and a little bit left in awe. You know, come back, kids. Never die.
You're exactly right. I think the 7th and 8th inning really set up for the 9th really well by being able to score 3 runs instead of getting them all back at once. We were really able to come back and find form. Let's talk about the comeback on Friday the 9th against the Tampa Bay Rays. The 7th and 8th inning, Schumacher and Puig were the ones that were able to get the key hits to score the key runs that made it 6-3 Rays instead of 6-0 going into the 7th. You guys, how big was Puig in that game? And let's not forget, he also committed the two errors and he had two ill-advised throws into the infield that cost us a few runs. But has he redeemed himself since then by being able to really applicate his talent to come back and push us to victory against the Rays? Josh, who do you think were the key players in that game?
It's pretty much almost the whole team. Adrian Gonzalez came up with the key hit. Schumacher and Puig. Puig makes some errant throws, but you know how he is. He wants to make the big play every time, and it's ill advised. But you can't blame him for his heart. You know what I mean? But I don't put any win on this season on any one player. I put it for the whole team because the whole team works for that one win.
You're exactly right. I believe in that comeback in the late innings, we batted around twice. I want to ask Ramses, which do you think was bigger? Was it the comeback as a whole, or was it Fernando Rodney's poor performance and then his last error, throwing the ball away to give up the go-ahead run in the 9th? Which do you think was more impactful, the error or the comeback from the Dodgers as a whole?
Well, the Dodgers, no, obviously, because if they would not have had the comeback, they would have. Even that error would have not meant nothing at that point because there would not have been any base runners, example, Gonzalez in third, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, although that error was really great, you know, for us as a team, you know, like, all right, you know, that error was thrown to the outfield, which allowed to score Gonzalez. But without the comeback opportunities at the beginning, you know, for them batting in, that would have not really meant a thing, you know?
I get what you mean. As I'm watching the comeback and I'm seeing the guys interact in the dugout and having fun with each other and really just smiling, laughing, really enjoying themselves, there was one word that I could describe this team as, and it's really just a beautiful team. It's been a turbulent season. We've had a poor start. We almost had Mattingly fired from the latest reports. We seem to be winning. We seem to be putting wins together. For about 2 months now, we've been on an absolute tear. If you guys could describe this team in one word, I'll start with you, Josh. What would it be?
Fun.
Fun.
They're having fun playing the game again.
It would certainly seem that way. I think once you take it back to basics, once you start, you know, making sure you're having fun while playing this game. It really is a game, and I think we tend to forget about that amidst all the drama that's been going on. Ramses, what would you describe this team as in one word?
Energetic. I mean, the energy in the dugout's flowing hard in the field everywhere. You know, everyone's having fun. Puig is messing around with all of his teammates. Ryu's even getting in the thing with against Juan Uribe, you know. Yeah, there might be a language barrier between them, but, you know, they're having fun.
Yeah, I think when your team's being as energetic and fun, as you guys both said, I think that's the sort of thing that transcends language. You don't need a language to speak the game of baseball, perhaps, to know within that context of the activity you can all communicate and be able to congregate and have fun together. I wanted to move forward and talk about the impact of our bench players, mainly Nick Punto and Skip Schumacher. These guys have been putting out all year long. These are guys that could easily be starters elsewhere in the league, but off the bench, they have done a fantastic job of filling in for injured players and giving players days off. I want to ask Ramses first, how big of an impact have Punto and Schumacher had on the Dodgers' success this season?
Well, the little guys, you know. Obviously, they are the smallest one, literally. But I mean, little as in, like, okay, they don't get as much playing time as the rest of the team, but they do as much as they do, you know. They're always there starting the inning up. They always get the run you need, you know, the hit you need. They're always moving up the rounder. You know, for them to contribute to the Dodgers team as much as they've been doing as part of being the bench player, that means a great thing. If your bench is just having as much fun as the people who are playing the field every day, that's a great thing.
I think they instill a lot of good karma and good energy within the team. They are sort of the legs that hold up this team as a single unit. Josh, what do you think? What do you think of the impact that Punto and Schumacher have had on the Dodgers this season?
Honestly, they're amazing. You know what? And the good veteran depth on our bench, and then not only that, they can play any position. It seems like Schumacher play all outfield, first base, shortstop, second base. And you know what's great about them too is they can hit it to the opposite field when it needs. Like last night, Punto hit the 2-run double. I mean, it's terrific. I mean, it seems like lately, every time we need them, they get a clutch base hit. Every time they pinch hit, they come in and they get us a single RBI to get us back into the game. And it's amazing.
I think any time a bench player is able to bat over 250, you consider that a pretty good bench player. I want to read you guys some stats from both Punto and Schumacher. In 89 games this season, Punto is batting .262 with 20 RBIs and 12 doubles. But the kicker is, in the last 10 games, he is batting .440. That is just a shade under .500. As for Schumacher, he has played in 95 games with a batting average of .272, 26 RBIs, and he has drawn 22 walks. In the last 10 games, he is batting .321. So the proof is in the pudding right there, and in the writing and statistics. You could definitely see what sort of impact these guys have had as of late, especially with all the ailments going around. In the outfield with Kemp, a little bit with Puig, and with Hanley Ramirez out with an injury, who is due back in the lineup tonight, tonight being Wednesday, of course. Also, one thing I wanted to mention, how much of the credit do you really have to give to the scouts for spotting the availability of players like Punto and Schumacher? Do you think the scouts are sort of the unsung heroes behind signing these sorts of players, Josh?
Well, yeah, of course, you got to give a lot of credit to them. I mean, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have Puig. We wouldn't have picked up Gonzalez. We wouldn't have picked up Hanley. Because there's something there that the scouts saw that said that they can help this team win.
I think you're exactly right. Ramses, I believe you have a couple of facts you wanted to mention about this day in Dodger history.
Oh, yeah, you got some facts. Actually, on this day, on August 14th in 1973, Ken McMullen stuns the Montreal Expos and sends the fans at Dodger Stadium into a frenzy. When he hit a two-run, two-pitch hit home run in the bottom of the ninth inning, lifting the Dodgers to a 4-3 victory. The dramatic victory preserves the Dodgers a 2.5 lead over the Cincinnati Reds in the National League West and pushes them to 30 games over .500 at 75/45. It was a particularly sweet moment for McMullen, the powerful infielder who had been delegated to a reserve role after losing his third base job to Ronce.
So a little bit of vindication for the bench player who had his spot filled by the incredible Ron Say. And it's nothing against Ron Say. Ron Say was an incredible third baseman, but some guys just get knocked off the lineup. It's always good to hear when those guys get success nowadays. I think Punto and Schumacher have had similar success in these days, playing behind people like Puig, Ethier, and Hanley Ramirez.
On August 14th, 1946, the Dodgers won two from the New York Giants, 8-4 and 2-1. It was the first day and night doubleheader played in the major leagues, which two separate admissions were charged.
For something a little different, me and Josh have been talking in the past couple nights while watching the Dodger game on who are our favorite commentators around baseball, and we have a short list of them. I think as far as well, let's go ahead and start with the worst commentators. I think we both in a unanimous decision over who may be the worst, and it's got to be John Sterling of the He does that in every single game, and I have no idea. He's got a catchphrase. It seems like every single inning. And it's absolutely terrible. I mean, what do you think of John Sterling, Josh?
It'll be a 3-1. Swung on and driven down the right field line. Fair, the game is over. It's a fair ball into the corner. Benamy scores. Johnny Damon gets his sixth hit of the day. A ribby single. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win!
Crap. It's horrible. I don't understand. I don't know if the Yankees fan really like him or what, because honestly, the worst I've ever heard. I'd rather hear a 10-year-old little girl do it like they used to do for the Diamondbacks. Do it for that time, because every time it's "Duh, Yankees!" Like he's bouncing up in his chair, and he has a catchphrase for every player.
Yep.
I mean, it's just give it a break.
It's just the he's so obnoxious. I don't know. He's got to sound bigger than the game itself. I should probably warn the fans. This is going to be one of the most opinionated pieces we've ever done on the show. So we've got John Sterling. I think the best commentators don't necessarily have catchphrases. If they do, they're certainly not manufactured in the way that John Sterling seems to have them manufactured. With the ending and the Yankees win. It sort of muddles over the game and what's actually taking place on the field. Also, who I put on this list, he just barely made the list, was Joe Buck, the son of the great Jack Buck, who also commentated for the Cardinals before Joe did. I think Joe Buck, he means well in the manner that he commentates a game. It's very monotonic, sort of, I don't want to say soft, but he tries not to speak over the game. But in doing so, I like that he does that, but in doing so, he sounds very boring and mundane, and nothing really sounds that exciting. What do you think of Joe Buck, Josh?
I mean, it's all right. I mean, he's not the Yankees announcer, so he's okay.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bland.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like you said, I think he means well. There's no excitement. There's no excitement in his voice.
Yeah. I don't hear it either. He's just he's very boring, and it sounds awful. Ramses, did you want to say something?
Yeah, what I want to say is, I mean, he try to keep it as calm as possible. Just, you know, like, just giving you the information, what you want to hear, you know, not that extra part.
Yeah.
So it might sound bland to people, but there's some people that actually just like, you know, easy stuff. You know, others, I mean, it's rare, but some people like it like that. You know, just simple, straight to the point. Exactly.
You're exactly right. I think he does a good job. And I think where John Sterling is on one end of the spectrum, being entirely obnoxious and just totally he's bigger than anything else happening on the field, Joe Buck is on the other end where he barely wants to be heard. And there's got to be that happy medium where some of the best commentators lie. Then there's also Chris Berman, who doesn't do baseball so much anymore. He does the home run derby. But I kind of feel like he doesn't even say words anymore. He just makes noises. He does all the home run derby stuff, and he sounds entirely absurd. I don't know what it is about his voice that just sounds like nails on a chalkboard. Josh, what do you think of Chris Berman?
There you go.
There it is.
There's the winner. Look at that.
Back. We have a chance.
Show down.
Yankees 12, Red Sox 11.
Stick with football. Don't bring your mess over to baseball. I was watching the Home Run Derby, and honestly, it made it a very unpleasant experience for me. Horrible.
He's very loud.
I'm just surprised, like, when a person would hit a line drive, he wasn't like, whoop!
Yeah. Line drive doubles into the gap. They don't count for anything in the Home Run Derby. But leave it to Chris Berman to make it sound ridiculous. Ramses, what do you have to say?
Yeah, what I was saying, when he says, back, you know, it's a noun, you know, it lands in the field.
Yeah, he sounds really foolish at some points throughout the night. Moving over to best commentators in the game. I wanted to start out with a guy who a lot of the younger generation's familiar with just because he's appeared in a lot of baseball video games as of late is Matt Vasgersian. And I don't know what it is about his voice. It seems a little manufactured. It's kind of like a cookie-cutter baseball commentator voice. But for whatever reason, he gets away with it, and I think it's just because he calls a great game. What do you guys think of Matt Vasgersian? Ramses, I'll start with you.
Well, I mean, traditional baseball voice, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what makes it so interesting on him, just listening to him. And honestly, to have the privilege to be the main host in many video games, which, of course, I've played, it just adds a good feeling to it, you know?
I think there's a bit of a connection. I know when I first heard him call a game on TV, he was actually doing the Olympics. I think it was during the Winter Olympics quite a while ago. It was the first time I actually heard him on TV. Josh, what do you think of Matt Vasgersian?
I like him. I think he's good. He's not like overzealous like some. He's not too calm. I think he's kind of like right in the middle. But he's got a nice voice for it.
Think so too.
He's very smart when it comes to the game. He knows a lot about what he's talking about. You can hear that in his voice.
He's very knowledgeable. We put it that way. I think that's probably maybe what really impresses us about Matt Vasgersian. Moving over to the Dodgers radio announcers, Charlie Steiner, Rick Monday. I think both of them are fantastic play-by-play and color commentators in their own right. If you've ever heard them on the radio, you know that they can have a lot of fun in the booth. Charlie Steiner, growing up a Dodger fan when he was a child, and Rick Monday, former Dodger, also played for the Cubs. Ramses, you've heard him on the radio. What do you think of Steiner and Monday together in the booth?
Well, it's the perfect duo we could have right at the moment. You know, obviously we can't have Vin Scully the whole thing, and they're the best option, like Josh was saying, right after Vin Scully, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, well, they do a great job in my
think so. And then ultimately what this entire commentator section of the show was coming down to is really analyzing the fantastic stylings of Vince Scully. He's obviously the best commentator who's ever called any sort of sport, any sort of game. In the past, he has done football games. He has done golf, ultimately settling down with the team he has always called for, and that is the Brooklyn/Los Angeles Dodgers. I want to ask you guys, if you have a favorite trait that Vince Scully has, what would it be, Josh?
Mine is how he can just go from going, to home run, and then he'll go into a story from 1951. And it perfectly. There's no pause, hesitation, and then we'll go to a commercial break and he'll pick up right where he left off. I think that is amazing.
I'd like to pray with humility and with great thanksgiving. I have a lot of thanks to give. I would like to thank my parents. I would like to thank my wonderful wife and children who paid the bill of loneliness and separation while I'm away. I'd like to thank Red Barber and Connie Desmond, who cared about that skinny red-headed kid 33 years ago and made sure that he would do reasonably well. I would like to thank my partners today, Jerry Doggett and Ross Porter. I would like to thank the O'Malley family, to Walter and Kay, bless them both, and to Peter and to Terry. I would like to thank the writers who have been more than generous to me over the years. I'd like to thank the Dodgers, both Brooklyn and Los Angeles, and all of the people along the way. And I'd like to conclude with a story. There is a legend in the West of an Indian chief who was wont to test the manhood of his young braves by making them climb up the side of a mountain as far as they could in a single day. And at daybreak on the appointed day, four braves left the village. The first one came back in the late afternoon with a sprig of spruce to show how high he had climbed. Later that afternoon, another came with a branch of pine, and much later in the day, the third came with an alpine shrub. But it wasn't until late that night, by a full moon with the stars dancing in the heavens, that the fourth brave arrived. "What did you bring back? How high did you climb?" asked the chief. And the brave said, "Where I was, there was no spruce nor pine to shield me from the sun. There was no flower to cheer my path. There was only snow and ice and barren rocks and cold, hard ground. My feet are torn and bloodied. I'm worn out and exhausted. I'm barehanded, and I have come home late. But," and then a wondrous look came into his eye, and he said, "I saw the sea." For 33 years, the good Lord has allowed me to do what I've always wanted to do, broadcast my favorite game. He has allowed me to climb my mountain. And today, thanks to the Ford C. Frick Award, I thank you for sharing this moment with me, because believe me, today, I saw the sea. Thank you.
He's really a talent. I think you're exactly right. Ramses, what do you think?
I just like how he's always giving us a history lesson. That's my favorite part. You know? It could be a tough situation, the Dodgers are in, but yet he has a time, you know, to tell us about the player where we probably would never even know unless he told us, you know?
I think you're exactly right. I love the fact that for every single player that's on the field or even on the roster, he has like half a dozen stories about them that no one would even think to look up or think to know. Vince Scully, he's the epitome of all broadcasting. I think the one thing that he was able to accomplish at a very early period in his career is he knew when to speak and when to maybe perhaps hold in what he had to say, because there's nothing more important than the moment. It was during, I think, Puig's debut with the Dodgers where he finally mentioned that there's nothing better in a fantastic moment inside a stadium than just being completely silent and letting the moment speak for itself. I think that's something that I've always appreciated about Scully. He never has a catchphrase. He's never had one, except for maybe the intro to Dodger games. It's always been the same. It's time for Dodger baseball. But even that, it becomes part of his charm. If you listen to any game that he has called where there's been a fantastic comeback, he will kind of disappear for a minute or two and just let what's going on the field play out. And I think that's what makes Vince Scully the best that ever was and best that ever will be.
Yep, and he wore a Dodger uniform for his whole career, and that's great.
Dig it. That'll conclude episode 3 of the Dodger Talk podcast. I want to thank you guys for listening again. I am JD Miller for Josh Martinez and Ramses Lemus. Josh, where can people reach you on Twitter?
You can go ahead and find me on Twitter at Josh_Martinez. That's MARTINEZ88.
And then Ramses, where can people find you on Twitter?
At Ramses L, RAMSESL.
And then what about the Dodger Talk Twitter?
You can find us at @Dodger_talk.
Very good, guys. I want to thank you guys again for being on the Dodger Talk podcast with me. My name is JD Miller. You can follow me at JDMILLER5150. And you can also like the Dodger Talk page at facebook.com/Dodger Talk. I bid you farewell. Until next time, fans.